like the good news in Scripture that says if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has begun. And that's why we're here to celebrate. We do have a whole entirely new life made possible by Jesus Christ. And it is to Him we give our thanks and our praise. So welcome all of you, and I'm glad that you're here. It's always our prayer that the Holy Spirit will touch you and move you according to God's will. We also have the opportunity of celebrating communion today, and you're welcome to the Lord's table if you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I have just a few announcements. We do have flowers that are given today in memory of Howard Daniel. They were given by Jerry Josie and Dawn Dickerson to honor him. And also, when worship is concluded, our poinsettias can be taken to those that might need a little cheering up. If you want to visit someone and bring them a poinsettia, please feel free to take one or a couple home with you, so that you can go and spread some cheer to others. But I encourage you to grab one after worship. And also after worship, back in the back, we have Kitty's going to be selling raffle tickets for Mardi Gras. Free trip that you can plan through a travel agency. So you don't have to be present to win. I'd encourage you to tell your friends about it too, because they can get a ticket. They don't have to be present to win. We'll call them if they win, but it gives them a $3,000 trip that they can plan through a travel agency. It's pretty neat. You also get tickets to the event, our Mardi Gras event itself. And it's hard to imagine that that's almost upon us already. This Wednesday, we need you. I love the way we decorate the sanctuary for Christmas, and I'm always sad when we got to take down our tree and our lights and all that, but we're going to take down our greens and put them away so that we can prepare for the rest of the Christian year. Christ has been born, we celebrated His birthday, but we also need to follow Him to His cross and see Him bring about that victory over sin and death. So we're going to get ready for the soon approaching Lenten season. So I ask you to be here Wednesday. We'll have food available. If you will, before we get started, take that peace that we have with God and turn around, share that with one another, and also wish them a happy new year. Happy New Year, guys. Hey, you doing all right? He's good. Happy New Year.
I got 2 years till I graduate.
They're milling.
Milling.
That's good. That's good. That's kind of whack. It's good to be a tight-knit group.
It was brought to my attention, and in the bulletin it does say, they will take down the greens after worship on Wednesday. That's not true. We're not worshiping on Wednesday, but we're taking down the greens at 5:30. So pencil that in. I'll send an email to remind everybody. 5:30 is when we're going to do that. May the peace of Christ be with you all.
Good morning. Now, don't worry. We haven't gone back in time a few years. I'm just filling in for Anthony, who's having car troubles out of town, who was supposed to fill in for Debbie, who is perfectly well, but just taking a well-deserved vacation day. Debbie had chosen this 1980s chorus for Anthony to sing. But lucky for me, I got to re-embrace this little song and the blessing of the words these last few days. It's called Isn't He? Isn't He beautiful, beautiful, isn't he? Prince of Peace, Son of God, isn't he? Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, isn't he? Counselor, Almighty God, isn't he? Isn't he?
Paula, I'm glad that time still has you with us in a variety of ways, and if Marguerite were here, she would say, wonderful. Join me, please, in the call to worship. Oh, come, let us worship the Lord and consider what wondrous things God has done. Oh, come, let us worship the Lord and consider what wondrous things God has done. O come, let us worship the Lord and consider what wondrous things God has done. Praise be to God. And let us pray. During this time of worship, like the wise men who journeyed from afar, we come out of our wayward lives to discover and to celebrate, O Lord, your saving, loving presence that is in our midst. We come to give you thanks for making yourself not only known, but for actually being present with us. And we pray also that, like the wise men, your Spirit will guide our each and every step this new year. Guide our decisions and turn our hearts to deeply desire you above all else. Open the doors that need to be opened and close the ones that need closing. Above every desire or dream that we may hold, bring us into your loving embrace forever so that we always pursue you first. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who with you, O God, and the Holy Spirit is one God, now and forever. Amen. And let's sing We Three Kings of Orient Arts, hymn number 66. If you'll grab your pew hymnals, let's stand and sing that together. Hymn number 66.
Of wonders. God has reconciled us to himself through Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation so that we can participate in all things being made new. Knowing God's desire to reconcile, let us together confess our sins using the prayer of confession found in your bulletin as we anticipate the new things God will continue to do in our lives. Let us confess together. All glorious God, we admit to you and to each other that we are creatures who either through foolishness or willfulness often choose dark instead of light. Here and now, we surrender to you our fears and proud opinions, our short-sighted folly and our pompous wisdom, our deep-seated sins and our apathy toward change and renewal. In your grace, restore the light-starved hopes and ideals within our souls. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us.
Brothers and sisters, hear the word of the Lord and rest in this wonderful truth. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. If you are in Christ, be assured that God does forgive you completely. And let's celebrate not only the forgiveness, but the new life that we have in God. And let's respond to this good news as we stand to our feet and sing together the Gloria Patri. Seated. The psalmist said, "What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I'll lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I'll pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of his people." This is a time in which we consider God's blessings and our response. We should remember in this moment that Jesus' greatest concern was you. Corinthians tells us, "For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich." Consider your response to God's most generous grace as we bring now our offerings.
Oh God, we gather to thank you for the easy conversation between old friends, the quick smile of a child, the warm look of hello from across the room, the caring phone call about our illness, the cards sent which say, just thinking of you, the hymn book passed along, the little things that say, we matter. All this, oh God, you planned in your compassion. Your church is special to us. Within it are people with so many different gifts. Thank you, God, for providing us with this place of belonging. In response, we bring our own gifts to use in your church. And as we do, we want to say how grateful we are to you that you have given us such friends. Out of gratitude, we give, for you have given us so much. Amen.
If you're our young person today and want to join me up here, I'd love to have you. Hi, Lexi. Oh, I'm going to read a Bible passage if I can. I was supposed to have my reading glasses up here, and I don't know what I did with them. I got kind of running around this morning. You know, we have a manger scene right here. Got a shepherd boy, because you know the shepherds were told by the angels to look for Jesus. And so they came and found him. When he was born, they found him in the manger. And there's also some guys that were pretty smart. They studied a lot. And they lived far away, but they saw something in the sky that was special. You know what it was? A star. A big star, a very bright star. And they knew that that star in heaven was a sign from God. So they followed the star. Guess where it led them? That's right, to Jesus. And so when we have our manger scenes, we often have the wise men. They probably showed up a little after Jesus' birth, but they did show up, just like the shepherd. And they wanted to see what was going on because they knew by looking up to heaven, God was up to something wonderful. So I want to read to you and share with you. Thank you so much. Where were they? Okay. All righty. My glasses. Yay. Saved by a parishioner. I want to read to you part of what happened when the wise men found Jesus. It says, when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They knelt down and they paid him praise. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The wise men, when they found Jesus, they gave him gifts. You know, much like we do when people have a birthday, we give them presents. Now, what I want you to do is look at the manger scene, and I want you to pick out what you think is the best gift up here. In the story, it says they brought him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Frankincense is like a perfume. Myrrh was used to, it was like an oil to anoint people. Of course, we know what gold is. But anyway, I want you to look, and what do you think was the best gift up here? Do you want to get it and bring it to me? Well, very smart. She brought our baby Jesus. That was the best gift. More valuable than the gold, the expensive perfume, and the incredibly expensive oil. Jesus was the greatest gift of all. The sign that God came to give us his most valuable. The sign that God came to give us his very best. That's why the wise men were so joyed. God had come and they realized he was giving them the best. And that's what God gives you, himself, his presence. what God gives all of us. He wants us to know that we can have him and his great love forever. All we need to do is allow it to come into our hearts. So let's go to God in prayer. Let's thank him that he loves us. Let's thank him that he came to us. And let's tell him how much we desire his wonderful presence in our life. God, we thank you that you do come to us and that you give us none other than yourself. We thank you that you took on flesh and you came and were born in this world in the person Jesus Christ. And I ask that all our hearts would be open to let him be our Lord and our salvation. That he would guide our steps, that he would rule our thoughts, that he would be the object of our affection. We just come now and not only say thank you, but we just open our lives to yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, good choice. And thanks for coming up and sharing with me, Lexi. Y'all give her a round of applause for coming up. And we'll sing our next hymn, Be We the Frankincense of Our Love, hymn number 62. Grab your hymnals and let's sing that together.
Our psalm reading, we will hear how the people pray for a good, just, and right king. They ask God for one who will truly lead them into blessing and the kind of life God intends. The king the people ask for is the king we have in Jesus Christ. So as we read Psalm 72, let us also be looking for God to bring the renewal and things our lives really need. I will read Psalm 72, verses 1 through 7, and verses 10 through 14, found in your pew Bible. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's son. May he judge your people with righteousness, and your poor with justice. May the mountains yield prosperity for the people, and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the needy, and crush the oppressor. May he live while the sun endures, and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days, may righteousness flourish and peace abound until the moon is no more. May the kings of Tarshish and of the isles render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all nations give him service, for he delivers the needy when they call, the poor and those who have no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy, and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Sweet little Jesus boy, they made you be born in a manger. Didn't know you who you was. Didn't know you'd come to save us, Lord, to take our sins away. Our eyes was blind, we couldn't see. Treated you, but please, You know, there's a profound truth in that song she just sang, and that's that God was doing something incredible in the world, but so much of the world didn't know what was going on. They weren't aware of what God was up to, even though there had been generations of prophets, even though there had been promises in Scripture. For whatever reason, people weren't aware of what God was up to. But we know from our Christmas Eve and our Advent passages, there were the people like the shepherds who knew that God was doing something, because the angels came and said, go look, and they went and they looked, and they got to celebrate the fact that God had given birth to a Savior. God not only made Joseph and Mary aware of what he was up to, it was people like the shepherds that God reached out to. And we're going to find out today in Matthew's gospel that even people far, far away were made aware, because God wanted everybody to know not just the new thing, but the good thing, the great thing that he was up to. So we're going to read the story about the wise men. I want you to know just one fact about this. When they arrived, Jesus has already been born. It's most very likely that Joseph and Mary were long out of the stable. It says when they found him at the house, they'd probably gotten lodging by then. But the reason we have them in our manger scenes is we want to be reminded of how many different people, near and far, God included in the Good News celebration. So let's hear about the wise men in Matthew 2, beginning in verse 1. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men, and he learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage. When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In Colorado and other mountainous places where it snows a lot, they often have places where, if you pay enough money, a helicopter can fly you to a snow-capped mountain peak. And if you're a wild adrenaline junkie or crazy enough, you can get out of the helicopter and ski down this mountain slope, or more often they look like a cliff, but whatever. I think there's a great thrill at seeking to overcome nature in its most natural state. It can be a thing of beauty, but it also can be a great challenge. But not only that, for those that do take these helicopters and fly up to a snow-covered mountaintop where there is no grooming of the slope and nothing done to make ready for the skier, there is also a danger of avalanche. You see, when it snows, when one snowfall falls on top of another, you get these layers of snow. And why they become so susceptible to an avalanche is if the snow is slightly disturbed, it might slide off the table of snow that is underneath it, and thus you have the avalanche. Well, as would have it, there's a skier that had to try and conquer the mountain, so to speak. And he started flying down this virgin mountaintop, just cutting his way through this beautiful untouched snow, and sure enough, an avalanche started. And it was so great that he couldn't turn to the left or the right to get away from him. I mean, it was coming down on him super quick, and he was just flying to outrun it, but he couldn't. Before the skier knew it, he was tumbling head over heel, just rolling as this snow was just flying down the slope of the mountain. And finally, he came to rest because he had just been buried under a pile of snow. Wisely, instead of panicking, the skier began moving his head back and forth like this and side to side. He was trying to create a little bit of room. And he was doing that with his arms and legs too, just trying to move them back and forth because he'd been buried. And he created this little space around his head. And when he did, he took a breath, first of all. And after taking a breath, he spit. And he did that so he could see which way the spit went. You see, gravity would do its thing, and the spit would flow in the direction of gravity, downward. You see, he did this because after all that tumbling through the avalanche, he didn't know, am I right side up, am I upside down, am I sideways? He had no clue which way was up. So he spit so he could see which way it would drip in the melting snow. And once he saw, he knew which way was down and which way was up. And he started moving his hands until more and more he could actually start digging. And luckily, he was only about a foot or two under the snow, and he made his way out, and he celebrated his rise to safety and salvation. But I share that story with you because we're going to go into a new year, and I hope there's great things in store for you. But you may know from all the things that happen in life, sometimes it's hard to know which way is up. Life has a way of sending us tumbling, and we can get disoriented. You know, and we can't recognize whether we're upside down or right side up, whether we're facing this way or that way. We can have just the busyness and the chaotic schedules. We can have personal tragedies or trials. There's evening news and world events that can be frightening. I've seen so much in this church, the struggles of those who are aging and the tremendous efforts of loved ones who are trying to care for them in their last days and years of life. And all of that can just get chaotic, and we can wonder, you know, which way is up. Life can send us tumbling. And like the skier, we don't want to start digging the wrong direction. We want to know which way to go. Because the right way to go makes all the difference in the world, just like it did for the skier who knew which direction to dig to climb out. The wise men in Matthew are wise because they had a strong idea of which way was up. Like the psalmist in Psalm 121 who states, "I lift mine eyes to the hills," the wise men knew to look up to the heavens. The wise men from the east looked to the heavens for a sign. And not only were they wise to look up to the heavens for a sign, the good news is they had one. God gave them a sign when they looked up. And what's more amazing about their wisdom is they not only saw it, but they dropped what they were doing to go follow it and see what they could discover. In the Old Testament, there is mention of a star. There is mention of a star that will be a sign. Somehow these wise men knew about that. When I read you the passage in Matthew this morning, I don't know if you caught it, but you know, the king calls in the experts, the priests, and the experts of the Old Testament to say, "Do you know where the Savior will be born?" They say, "Oh yeah, Bethlehem." They knew. But neither did they look, and it's amazing that they didn't go with the wise men to investigate. And these were the priests of all people. That's why you need to pray for your pastor. Apparently, the wise men had some knowledge of where to look for God's activity. But when they did look for God's activity, they discovered God was being rather active right there in their midst. And that's the miracle. That was the amazement. That's why they were filled with joy. They realized God's not just being active. He's being active right here in my presence. Wow. So no wonder they fall to their knees and they worship. Some scholars believe that the Jews who had been taken into captivity by the Babylonians or the Persians were the ones who told these wise men about their faith in the one true God. It could be very possible, while living there for decades in captivity in the east, they told these wise men about their scriptures, and the wise men were smart enough to take a look and study them. Whatever the fact may be, the wise men were interested in God's activity. And like I said, they not only looked, but they dropped what they were doing. And they investigated. They journeyed and they traveled far, which meant that their journey was long. It meant that it required endurance. But they did it because if God, the creator and sustainer, was indeed busy and active in their day, in their age, and in their presence, oh my gosh, that'd be the greatest discovery anybody could make. So they went. When they came upon profound signs that God was indeed active in their world, they couldn't help but worship and offer God the very best that they had. Because what they discovered was a reality that was too good to be true, but it was. So they offered their very best. You know, I had a few days off, and Virginia and I were traveling this week, and I used my GPS several times. It was a reminder that I was searching for the right way to go. There were moments when I needed help getting to the proper destination. It also reminded me, you know, the sheer number of searches that are done on Google each and every day remind us that we are all searching for something. something exciting, something meaningful, something needed, something useful, something fulfilling. You name it, Google can find it. Our story of the wise men is profound because you don't need Google. But if you look, God can be found in your life. The miracle of the wise men, of that discovery they made, is the miraculous discovery we can make, that God can be discovered in our lives. And God gives us the Bible, our GPS. God gives us the presence of His Holy Spirit so we don't have to try and look on our own. God comes to us in the flesh so that we can see what it's like for ourselves. God gives us signs to shepherd our journey through this world. And even though things can get topsy-turvy, we can know and discover the way up. And the new year before us, I hope and pray that we look up, and that we look up constantly, because we will all be searching for something. But I hope and I pray that our searching will not only begin, but it will continue with God. It's great that I talk about that and we go to the table to celebrate communion, because God is telling us here, this is where my sacrificial love can be found. This is a way in which I give to you a way to celebrate the sacrificial love I gave to you in the birth and sacrifice and resurrection of my Son, Jesus Christ. If you want to find me, you can. Just come, even if you're weary or carrying heavy burdens, because I'm going to meet you here. And what I want to do is celebrate. Celebrate the fact that I love you more than you can ever hope or realize. And this is one way in which we can all discover it together. So I invite you to come, the Lord says. If you trust in me as your Lord and Savior, this is a meal in which what you get is me. You get my presence. You'll get my body broken, my blood shed, the fact that my love will do anything to save you, no matter what the cost. And it is here to do anything to fill you so that you don't go through life empty. So I want you to come. So if you will, I'd like to ask the elders at this time to join me up front, who are going to help serve communion. And if everyone else, if you'll grab your bulletins and turn to the communion liturgy, we can prepare to celebrate this wonderful feast. In the light of the world, and whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so let us prepare ourselves to come and receive the light of life. If you will, join me, please, in our communion liturgy. Great is the mystery of faith. Praise to you, Lord Jesus. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us pray. With joy, let us pray to our Savior, the Son of God, who became one of us. O Christ, our prayer this new year is you would let your gospel shine in every place where the word of life is not yet received. Draw the whole creation to yourself, that your salvation may be known throughout all the earth. O Christ, our Savior and Lord, extend your church to every place. Make it a place of welcome for people of every race and tongue. O Christ, ruler of rulers, direct the work and thoughts of the leaders of nations that they may seek justice and further peace and freedom for all. And O Christ, master of all, support the weak and comfort the afflicted. Strengthen the tempted. Raise the fallen. Direct the confused. Watch over the lonely and those in danger. Give hope to the despairing and sustain the faith of those persecuted. O Lord, our Savior, we do give thanks that even when we failed you, you did not fail us, that instead you came and you forgave our sinful ways. We praise you that in the fullness of time you revealed your love by sending your Son Jesus to be the light of the world. Thank you that he came to heal our brokenness. Thank you that he comes now in the presence of your Holy Spirit, that we can be made more able to walk by faith and not by sight. And as your Holy Spirit descends upon us, we ask that you bless the bread we break and the cup we bless to be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we would truly receive his sacrificial love and be filled to the full to love others as you have loved us. And so, remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we now take from creation the bread and the juice, and we joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we look forward to his coming again. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and a holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Our prayer is you would receive us as we come praying the way in which Jesus taught us by saying together, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Remembering the gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we recall the night of the Passover. Jesus took the bread that was there when they had finished the celebration, and when he did, he gave thanks, and then he blessed it, and he broke it, saying, This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat. And then in the same manner, he took the cup that was there. He said, This is the cup of the new covenant. It's sealed in my blood, which is poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. Whenever you drink from the cup and you eat the bread, do so remembering me. And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. You're welcome to this holy feast. take, indeed. Most gracious God, by your presence at this holy feast, having celebrated your steadfast love and victory over the grave, our prayer is that you would make us strong and courageous for the road ahead. Give us ability beyond what we feel able. Let your gifts flow freely through us so that you would be honored by our lives and others would be drawn to you. Keep us from temptations, whisper in our ear when we need to run, and whisper in our hearts when we need to stand our ground. Give us supernatural endurance to stay the course of faith, not swerving to the left or right, or being too easily distracted by other things that would call us away from a close walk with you. Shine your light in us, through us, over us, that we might make a difference in this world, which so desperately needs your presence, power, and grace. We ask this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll go out singing, "Come Let Us Adore Him." The words, the verses are printed right there in your bulletin. So let us stand and prepare to go out singing that, "Come, let us adore him." The peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be in you, with you, now and always. Amen.